President Trump says he has asked Turkey for those audio and video recordings, if they exist, of the suspected murder of dissident Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul earlier this month. Turkish officials have now published what they say is heard on the tapes in state-backed media. The New York Times says the gruesome details confirm a murder. And despite Turkish officials saying it was the Crown Prince's agents who tortured and dismembered Khashoggi, who lived and worked in the U.S., in the Oval Office this morning, Trump defended his support of the Saudis.
I'm not giving cover at all. With that being said, Saudi Arabia has been a very important ally of ours in the Middle East.
Also on President Trump's mind, the midterms, just 20 days away. Last night, Trump said he won't accept blame if his party loses the House. Lots to talk about with our political strategist, Jamal Simmons, Democrat and host at Hill TV. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. And Alice Stewart, Republican strategist. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Jeremy. Great to be here.
Great to have you. And Jamal, what do you think, first of all, how important is how Trump responds to this alleged murder of Jamal Khashoggi? And, of course, we remember, and Trump just said it right there, the U.S. has a big relationship economically and politically with Saudi Arabia.
It's incredibly important. I mean, one of the things that's been quite disturbing to me over the last couple of years is how the president has pulled America back from some of its international relationships, but then also pulled back from talking about American values when you go around. And I spent a lot of time earlier in my career traveling the globe and on behalf of the government, on behalf of private organizations. And, you know, I always felt the security that if something happened to me, the United States government would be there to help ride to the rescue. I just think if you're working for an international organization in some part of the world today, you don't feel that level of security you may have felt 6 months ago.
Because Khashoggi was a U.S. resident.
Right. Well, but Alice, you know, how would you advise?
He was a U.S. resident, also working for an American newspaper.
Right. Which President Trump hates. He hates that newspaper, the Washington Post.
Well, that shouldn't matter, right?
Well, there you go. But Alice, how would you advise Republicans at this moment? The Crown Prince had other moments. You know, he detained Saudi billionaires in a hotel. There's the war in Yemen. Here's Republican Senator Lindsey Graham on Fox and Friends just yesterday about Mohammed bin Salman.
This guy's got to go. Saudi Arabia, if you're listening, there are a lot of good people you can choose, but MBS has tainted your country and tainted himself.
Like who?
And Alice, is this tainting Trump? Because there's a whiff of the fact that he has personal relations with the Saudis. His son-in-law and daughter, you know, have potential business deals with them. And he's starting to feel like it's more personal than for the good of the country or for human rights.
Robin, unfortunately, it feels as though there's a little bit more than a whiff of connection between the president and the first family and these Saudi officials, which is a big concern. I do think it is critical for us to get all of the information before we make any big declarations. I wish there was a little bit more of Lindsey Graham and Donald Trump when he's talking about the situation in the fire and fury that we do hear in Lindsey Graham's voice. But the president is right in that Saudi Arabia is an important business interest for the United States, $450 billion worth of business interest, $110 billion with regard to military purchases. But if things go as all indications are that this was a brutal, brutal killing, then clearly we need to take drastic steps and really make a point. This is a human rights issue, and this is about what is right for our country and setting an example that this kind of behavior is simply not tolerated.
Jamal, if this is on the minds of voters in a few weeks, is that good for Trump or bad for Trump?
It would be bad for Trump, but I doubt that it will be on the minds of voters. Voters are usually concerned with things that are happening much closer to home, not just their pocketbooks, but also, can their kids Google the President of the United States and the First Lady and not have to have the parent filter on their computers when the results come back? I think that there is a real values problem with the president, not just how he interacts abroad, but also the values that he espouses as the president and his desire to win at all costs. Regardless of how you perform, the things he said about Stormy Daniels, the things he said about
calling her horse face,
Dr. Blasey Ford, it's just a really tough time to admire the president of the United States, and I think that will matter along with the other issues.
Well, but Alice, you know many people do, and so as you know, let's head into the midterms with another issue. First of all, just to as we put Khashoggi behind us, this notion that those tapes might come out. So that's hovering over everything. The Turks say they have these audio tapes of the actual murder, and they sound grisly. But then there's the deficit. The Treasury Department reported this week that the U.S. budget deficit grew to $779 billion under President Trump. His critics, as you know, Alice, are blaming the tax cut. But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell blamed rising federal deficits on social programs. Let's listen.
It's very disturbing, and it's driven by the three big entitlement programs that are very popular, Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid. That's 70% of what we spend every year.
Alice, that was from Bloomberg TV, by the way. How popular is that going to be when people figure out what entitlement programs are?
Clearly, if they are affected, and if we do have to make cuts with regard to those programs, it will have an impact, I believe, on voters. And Democrats can certainly use that as a message to fight against Republicans. But I'd like to think that between the unemployment rate at historic lows, and we have job numbers are at an all-time high, and we're having more confidence in the economy, those kind of barometers with regards to jobs in the economy will have more of an impact, at least when we're talking about the midterms, more short term. Long term, yes, when we're getting closer to 2020, that might be an issue. But people right now are looking at, do I have a job? Am I making more money than I made last year or 2 years ago? Right. And how am I comfortable with regard to putting money away for a rainy day? And right now, it looks as though more people are feeling more confident in their individual paychecks, which will be beneficial to
Republicans. But Jamal, where is the Democrat making the case that the reason that the deficit is so big is largely because of this huge tax cut that was supposed to pay for itself?
Here I am, right here.
Sorry, we gotta go. Thank you.
That's exactly right. We just passed a tax cut that put billions of dollars back into the hands of the wealthiest people. We're borrowing that money from the Chinese, which was in the Saudis and all the other people around the world who are buying American debt. And that, you can't tell me that doesn't matter as we begin to negotiate some of these issues around the world. And I got to tell you, the Republicans always run a jobs program. It's called the Defense Department, because that money doesn't just go to taking care of troops. It also goes to all the defense contractors who are being paid in lots of Republican districts. I think this is, we got to look at the broader budget, and I will tell you, if Donald Trump wants to start cutting entitlements, he should call George W. Bush and ask how that went for him when he started talking about reforming Medicare and Social Security.
Look again with an eye on the upcoming elections. In their second and possibly final debate, the Texas Democrat Beto O'Rourke really came out on the attack against the Texas Senator Ted Cruz, who is seeing a bump in some polls. But O'Rourke called Cruz dishonest for saying he supported a $10 a barrel tax on oil. Here's Cruz's response.
Well, it's clear Congressman O'Rourke's pollsters have told him to come out on the attack. So if he wants to insult me and call me a liar, that's fine. But, you know, John Adams famously said, facts are stubborn things.
Now, O'Rourke did once vote for an oil tax that never became law. But O'Rourke was able to use Donald Trump's own words against Cruz last night. Just your thoughts, Alice, on what would you advise as a strategist?
Well, first of all, look, clearly O'Rourke is resorting to name-calling instead of looking at the record. When he spent three times as much as Ted Cruz, and he's still behind by 10 points in the polls. And I was Ted Cruz's communications director in the 2016 campaign, right, and I can still hear lying Ted in my head.
Right. But you heard it last night.
Exactly. That's right. And here's the thing. If you look at the issues that are important to people of Texas, Beto O'Rourke doesn't represent those issues. He's for government-funded late-term abortions, socialized medicine, open borders, and he's advocating for wind and solar energy in Texas, of all places. So what people saw last night was a candidate that clearly he might get a lot of media attention and has a lot of money, but his values are not reflective of Texas. And at the end of the day, Republicans and the people of Texas will come home to someone that has represented them well with their values, and that's Ted Cruz. And that's what we'll see in a lot of these Republican Senate races across the country.
Well, Jamal, would you recommend that Beto O'Rourke continue that, coming out swinging? What would you say?
Certainly he should come out swinging. Look, I'm not a Texan, but I did do a lot of – I lived in the South and did
you
a lot of politics
there once
in the South. But in the South generally, although some would argue with not Texas is the South, that's how much I understand. But there's a real concern here, because a lot of Americans are going through real problems like opioid abuse, and people want more – care, not less care. I think that, and we're talking about different populations of people. There are lots of Latino voters in Texas who I think probably care about making sure that babies aren't separated from their mothers at the border when they cross by the government. You know, there's some real issues. So Beto O'Rourke and Ted Cruz may be talking to two different parts of Texas.
Jamal, just quick, do you think that it was silly that Elizabeth Warren came out with her DNA test with just a few weeks before the election?
It certainly seems, in retrospect, it was a little too cute by half. You know, you can't play this game with Donald Trump. Don't fall into his lair because he will never let you escape it.
She's more presidential contender in 2020 than Native American.
Alice Stewart, Republican strategist, Jamal Simmons, the Democrat, host at Hill TV. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.